This is a replay of the Thursday night, August 29th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together tonight, and I do hope you'll call 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Yeah, it was like the universe talking to me saying, don't do the show, but here I am anyway, over some objections, too. So last night when we left you, just before the show ended, the phones just cut out completely, died. And I I managed to route it down after about an hour or so. And as far as I know, when you call 888-876-5593, you will get an answer and you will be on the air. But that was not without some doing. Then earlier today, I managed to fall. And actually, it was not a fall. It was an entire swan dive onto tile. And yes, a couple of UPS power supplies in the way, and airborne I was. But the problem was I landed on my face and on my teeth. Yeah. Permanent retainers, so that's good. Teeth aren't falling out. However, one of them bent, so now I'm in pain from the fact that it wants my tooth to go in a direction my tooth would rather not go, and I'd rather not have it go. So, of course, I immediately called the dentist, and she's out until Tuesday. Yeah. And on top of that, we've got plans this weekend that involve quite a bit of walking. So it'll be interesting all the way around. But sometimes you do think, is the universe trying to warn me about something? Well, I don't know what it was at Wells Fargo, but this is absolutely true. This is this was in Tempe, Arizona, a Phoenix suburb where ASU is and where Wells Fargo has a building. And so it was that an employee clocked in. What time should we see? 7 a.m. on August 16th for work. Denise Prudhomme did that. That's when she shows up on the job, logged in, went to her cubicle, sat down. And it wasn't until late August 20th that building security called authorities to say, we found an unresponsive worker. Officers arrived and confirmed, yep, she was dead. Now, here is the deal. This woman was dead over 4 days at her cubicle and no one noticed. From what I understand from some of the anecdotal reports off the record was that employees started to smell a foul odor, but passed it off as faulty plumbing. Now, I will say that a lot of the workers at this location do work from home remotely, but the building has 24/7 security. She clocked in, never clocked out, and was sitting dead at her desk for over 4 days. Yeah, one of the other workers said, you know, that's the uneasy part. It's got to be some kind of negligence. Police say there's nothing suspicious, but when your employee doesn't notice you're dead for over 4 days, yeah, so there you have it. And, of course, they say, we're deeply saddened by the tragic loss of our colleague. I guess, why didn't you notice a bit earlier? And how about the cleaning crew? Don't they clean the cubicles? Well, other workers said off the record, Wells Fargo really needs to do more. I believe that is the understatement of the year. So, yeah, they aren't being transparent with us. Somebody needs to acknowledge this. Well, I think everybody's acknowledged it now. The police have showed up and said, yep, dead. But how on earth, in any office situation, can somebody be dead in their cubicle for over 4 days and no one notices? Yeah, never mind that little smell. I tell you what, I'm sure it says something, but one thing it doesn't say is how valued you are as an employee. Well, what we do know on the upside is probably they didn't have a keystroke logger, because clearly she wasn't making any for quite a while. But you would have thought when she didn't clock out. Oh, well, the possibilities are just endless, aren't they? New moon, Monday night, Labor Day, September 2nd, just before 9 o'clock Central Time, if you want to write your Law of Abundance checks. And Labor Day is Monday, and there will be a live Monday night trivia show, because I always say I won't abandon you on major holidays, and Labor Day seems to be one, so we'll be live. Hopefully you'll be calling, because I can't do trivia without you. Yeah, either that or we'll just talk amongst ourselves. Meanwhile, we're in Mercury retro shade. I love that phrase. And that ends on September 11th around 6:52. But I'll tell you, the shadow of the retrograde, the retro shade, seems worse than the retrograde for me. Next full moon is Tuesday, September 17th. That'll be the harvest moon just after sunset. It's also a super moon, don't you know? So 888-876-5593. Donna is in Oak Lawn. Donna, welcome to WGN Radio.
About your bent tooth.
No, that's not, the tooth's not bent. No. Understand, the tooth is fine. It's just the permanent retainer that's bent.
Oh, I understand. However, pain is pain.
Oh, it doesn't hurt.
And there is a reality or two about your face and falling. If you've got any sort of trauma to your face, part of this issue might be that when you fell, the first initial thing that goes on is you go into, like, numbness and shock sets in. And as that wears off and pain starts setting in, if you've got any sort of stuff really going on with your face, you might want to really get it taken care of. And just sort of as an FYI, I don't know about Arizona, and I know you live out in the middle of nowhere, and you work out in the middle of nowhere. In Illinois, trauma centers have to have a dentist on duty 24/7.
I know it's good advice, but I'm not going to follow it. I've got far too much to do. We got to go to Tempe tomorrow for a couple days for something, and it's not avoidable. And so I figure Tuesday I'll show up at the dentist, and hopefully I haven't screwed myself too badly. Now, as far as the wrist and as far as the tore open shin, they'll heal. I'm a pretty hardy buffalo as far as that goes.
Well, there's also a whole bunch of sinuses involved.
Well,
and if you do fun stuff with your teeth and an infection on the upper, your lower sinuses get impacted.
Well, I'm certainly going to go Tuesday, and
okay.
I'm sure
well,
that.
Let's put it this way: yeah. As an avid listener to somebody,
yeah.
Don't do anything that would rob me of you.
Oh, you're so kind. No, but I'm sure that that nothing will happen before Tuesday. I could go to an unknown dentist tomorrow, but I really don't want an unknown dentist at this point. I want somebody who's already familiar with my mouth. And so it is. Now, of course, if the pain becomes unbearable, I may change my mind. But so far, nah, it'll be fine.
Well, keep it in mind that trauma centers,
yeah,
and the dentists that are involved with trauma centers are usually teaching hospital people,
yeah,
and they usually have some basic trauma knowledge.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fine, but thank you. I appreciate your concern.
Okay.
All right.
Just remember, tea bags are good, too.
Tea bags? What do I do with them?
The astringency helps to keep the swelling down.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal. All right. As long as I don't have to drink it. All right.
No, you just make it, hotten it, get it, wring it out, and pack it up against your mouth. It'll help with bleeding and swelling.
Okay. Good deal. I appreciate the tips. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes, indeed. 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so Ross is a first-time caller, and he's in Deerfield. Welcome to WGN Radio, Ross.
Fantastic. I even turned the radio off because I knew I was going to be on. You're the best.
Oh, thank you. What's up tonight?
All right, well, first off, if you take those tea bags and you put them over your eyes, they decrease the swelling underneath, so you get less bags underneath your eyes in the morning, too.
Okay, all right. I haven't gotten bags yet, but in case I do, I'll keep this in mind.
All right, so here's what I need to know. I've listened to you for a long time. I've never called or anything else. Love your show. I understand the show. It took a little while to understand it, but you're awesome. I want to know about how they do ratings nowadays. I mean, in the old days, I mean, you wouldn't have, like, you could do the pods or go on your internet or anything else. How do they determine what the ratings are for a radio show? I listen to radio a lot of hours.
In markets like Chicago, through the People Meter. But to back up to get there, originally radio ratings were like any other type of research. They'd call you up and say, what radio station are you listening to? And if it was at night, usually it was a kid. That's how those teen stations got 90 shares at night, because the kid answered the phone. And so C.E. Hooper worked that way, and Trendix didn't. The next one was Pulse. Pulse came in, and they actually divided the city up into square blocks and would show up in person. But it was an aided recall. They'd kind of ask you, did you listen to any of these last week? Well, that didn't work out too well. So in 1966, broadcasters, in a fit of insanity, decided that the diary method would be good because it would be a coincidental, meaning that people would record what they were doing when they were doing it. That's nice in theory, but the reality is no one did. They all waited till the end of the week, which would have been a Wednesday, because the week always started on a Thursday morning, and they just, you know, fill it out at the last minute. And you knew it was that because the penmanship never changed, and, you know, they started at the top of the hour or the bottom of the hour. But anyway, so the diary was what we had for years and years. And then, a little over a decade ago, they came up with the People Meter. And the People Meter was by many seen to be a huge improvement. It certainly was in theory, because the People Meter was similar to what had been in television, like the Nielsen Meter or Arbitron, which actually Arbitron originally, that was the name of the box in the TV. It was the American Research Bureau. But anyway, I digress. All right, so here is Nielsen, and they announce, well, actually it was still Arbitron when they come up with the People Meter. Now, again, in theory, you're going to wear this, and it's going to be able to pick up anything you are exposed to during the period of time that you are a survey participant. And that's great. And of course, what radio stations had to do was encode a signal that wasn't audible that the People Meter could pick up. And so that's when all hell broke loose, because it wasn't refined. But it's there was one zip code in San Francisco where no one ever listened to the radio, for instance. But there were all sorts of arguments about the People Meter accuracy, and they've come a pretty long way on that. Smaller markets are still diary, but as we speak, Nielsen is going to roll out a different form of rating for small markets, and they've been testing it, and they've been having seminars lately that I have ignored. But nonetheless, it's the People Meter for Chicago.
And does that still, dictate how much advertising money they can bring in by what that People Meter says?
Isn't that interesting? Because is the radio station selling by numbers? You know, the reality is that an advertiser, a local advertiser who can measure response, who knows how many people walked into their store to buy a widget, they don't care what your numbers are. They want to know how many people walked in the store. And so radio stations that have an easy way of delivering clients, and WGN is one of them, they're not selling by the ratings. The people who buy WGN are buying because they know they're going to get a response. Now, for your national guys who can't measure response, let's say it's Procter & Gamble, you just don't know how many people went and bought those Cheerios. Well, in that case, yeah, they're going to look at numbers for better at worse, and what they're really going to look at is the demographic they're after. And so let's say they want females between 25 and 34. They can pinpoint that. Now, if you're asking me if that's accurate, we'll have another whole conversation, but that's the way they buy it. So the national guys and those who cannot measure, ratings become important to them. Anybody who can measure it, what they care about is cash register ratings. How effective were those ads?
Interesting. So it doesn't come down to a matter of really demographics of who's actually listening, but it's more like who they may think are listening.
Well, right. Anybody who thinks that the ratings are an absolute accurate barometer are crazy. We could, again, go through the whole history from day one and show you hilarious stories all the way around. But I will say that for the most part, the ratings are pretty good at telling you who is absolutely number one and pretty good at telling you who nobody listens to. But then everybody else in the middle, it's anyone's guess.
So does that mean, like, this podcast thing that happens? I've never listened to a podcast. I'm not a computer guy. I'm kind of IT illiterate. So,
well, that's,
which is fine. Well, I like that. But how does that affect radio?
Right. Now you've entered yet another facet of this. Because, of course, what podcasts theoretically can do is tell you exactly how many people heard it and exactly where they were. Because those IP, if you access a podcast, your IP address is known. So they know where you are. They may not know how old you are necessarily or if you're male or female, but they know where you are. And they know that you're listening, and they know exactly for how long you listen, because it's going to be in the server log. So a podcast can deliver accurate information, but whether or not that is of great value to the advertiser depends in part on what they're selling. Now, a lot of radio groups, probably in particular Town Square, spends more on digital than they probably do trying to get anybody to advertise on their terrestrial stations. So a lot of stations do, in fact, have a pretty good digital presence, both from their live stream and from the podcasts. How effective it's been sold? Well, if you look at the numbers, very rarely do you see a station that's making the lion's share of their income from digital media, from podcasts. And streams, not happening yet, but a lot of people are hoping it will.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, like WGN, other stations I listen to, you can put them on their app. Is affecting them getting better advertising or more revenue from advertising?
Well,
I'm assuming that's the only way they can make money.
Well,
right?
They're going to do a pre-roll for one thing. When you go ahead and connect to the app, you hear an advertisement for something you could care less about, but you're going to sit through it to get to the stream. So that's a pre-roll. You're guaranteed to get to that, and someone's paying for that. So there's a number of different ways to monetize it ultimately, but at this point. Town Square is a real exception as a chain. They really are depending a lot on their digital revenue. But for everybody else, it's more of a future hope than a current reality. They know they have to do it. They know absolutely that what they're in the business of is audio. And audio, it doesn't matter whether they're terrestrial or whether they're satellite or whether they're online, audio is audio is audio. So if you can, in fact, extend your reach by being online, then you're going to want to do it. Now, some stations are going to go ahead and geofence. In other words, they're saying, well, hell, if I'm going to put a server out there, I don't want to pay for people who are in Zimbabwe to listen to my stream. I just want my prospects. Let's say I just want the greater Chicago area. You can easily geofence so that that's all you get.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I appreciate that. I'm one more question. I know it's not trivia night, but Dave Baum or Eddie Schwartz? If you had to listen to one or the other, which one would you pick?
Well, Eddie was a friend, and I miss him dearly, so I have to go with Eddie.
Okay, I miss him too.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
He was such a good guy. I met him because at WIND in 1970, he was Robert W. Morgan's producer. And that's how I got to know Eddie. And we maintained a friendship over the years. And one of my fondest things was coming to Chicago. And after he got off the air, we'd drive around and he'd show me all the sights and tell me all the stories. And it was just great.
He was a pleasure to listen to. I mean, that WIND group. Well, I was really young then and everything else, but I mean, Dave Clark or Jim Clark. What was that guy's name?
I was not a big, other than Morgan being on it, I was not a big WIND fan. My thing was Dan Sorkin on WCFL Morning Drive. I thought he was the best ever. So that was my favorite morning man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Raleigh, I really appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
I love your show.
All right. Do it again.
Your whole gang is great.
Yeah,
thank you.
Call again. I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Ross.
You're the best.
All right.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593. We got Nick. We got James. We got you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. Yes, American Bandstand, not their first theme, but by the time Dick Clark was on the scene, absolutely. And it was Les Elgard who first recorded that in 1954 in Columbia, and it was his arranger who wrote it. Les had some writing credits on it, too, but his arranger, whose name right now is escaping me. And it'll come back to me, maybe. Albertine. Yeah, Charles Albertine, that was it. He actually wrote it, and he was an arranger for Les Elgard, and so there was Les Elgard. A lot of versions of that out there, but that is the original. All right, so 888-876-5593, 888-88-Raleigh. Nick in Baltimore, what's up tonight, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Raleigh?
Oh, I feel terrible. Hey. How about yourself?
I've got a touch of something. I feel awful, but you know, the weather's changing, and you know, that's another show we didn't get.
Yeah, boy.
But you know, little interesting fact on American Bandstand. Channel 13 WJZ, which was Westinghouse then, they did carry American Bandstand before Buddy Dean left. What they did for a few weeks, they delayed it and ran it on Sunday. And then they carried it live when he left for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I remember his last show. And they, when he left, when the show ended, they carried American Bandstand for about 2 weeks, and then they went back to Westerns.
Yeah. You know, it's not the only market that didn't have Bandstand. Miami didn't have it. And that was because there was a guy named Bill Wyler, and everybody forgets about him. Everybody remembers Rick Shaw later. But Bill Wyler on WLBW stood for Larry B. Wilson. Anyway, Channel 10, they carried it. So if you wanted to watch it, you had to, you know, use all sorts of techniques to pick it up from Palm Beach through the snow. Because,
West Palm Beach.
Yes, that's right. And West Palm Beach was weird because they only had two stations, 5 and 12, so they shared network. But in any event, those aren't the only two. But, yeah, Baltimore and Miami were two notorious non-Bandstand shows.
Well, Buddy Dean was better.
Oh, of course. Well, Buddy Dean was really, in some, as far as I'm concerned, the best of the bunch. But there were a lot of them. Milt Grant in D.C. was good. Gene Lovin in Norfolk was good. There were so many people, but Buddy Dean was, as far as I'm concerned, an institution, you know.
There was a guy in Dallas, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
WFAA?
Yeah, absolutely. And, in fact... what's his name, later was doing mornings at the Fairbanks station there. But yes, every market, of course, you know, in L.A. we had Lloyd Thaxton, and in New York, Clay Cole. So, you know, these things were so ubiquitous. That's when ABC decided they wanted a national show. And that's, you know, they picked Philadelphia for a couple of reasons. The reason they didn't want New York was union. They didn't want it to be that expensive. And so, of course, Philadelphia, not only was it fairly close, but the guy who owned WFIL also owned Triangle Publications, which was TV Guide. That was Annenberg.
Oh.
And so there was a sweetheart deal with Annenberg. And of course, you know, Bob Horn made that show, and he's one of the very few guys that went from pop standards when he started it in 52 to rock and roll by 56 and didn't lose a kid.
They did him dirty.
Oh, did they ever. They set him up because they knew he liked old wine and young girls, you know, so it didn't take much. But the bottom line was that they did not want him because he didn't look the part. And Dick Clark was the nighttime announcer on WFIL Radio 560, and he looked the part. So they had to set up Bob Horn on the moral turpitude clause, and that, sadly, they did, and it was a horrible, horrible story. But in any event, what?
Do you know what they did in Pittsburgh?
Oh, Pittsburgh did have people, yeah. I'm trying to think.
Pittsburgh, well, they had Clark Race on.
Well, they also had so many wonderful characters like Mad Mike or Porky Chadwick. I mean, Pittsburgh was just resplendent.
Oh, yeah. On Whammo.
Yeah, oh, God, yes. And, you know, there were
the
also...
The original Whammo.
That's right. Dynamic Broadcasting. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. And, but, you know, what I wanted to bring up was when American Bandstand went to an hour-long format, when I went up there one weekend, the rehearsal station, which was WTAE Channel 4, they carried American Bandstand, but they only carried the first half. The second half, you had to get it out of Steubenville, Ohio.
Okay.
Which was WSTV Channel 9, which was CBS and ABC, and what they did was, what Dick Clark did, the split, he said, for those of you leaving us, we'll see you next week. For those of you staying with us, we invite you to continue watching. And that's what they did. And that was really, for me, that was weird. And then they carried the second half of the show. Now, what Washington did is sometimes they carried the hour-long show, and sometimes they only carried a half hour, and they need the bowling on WMAL-TV. So.
Yeah, no, it's very odd how that happened. And when you talk about some of those early TV teen dance shows, some of them were on Dumont. So you had you had that as well. But the best ones, like I say, were the ones where it was soul-oriented, R&B-oriented. And I mentioned many times Mitch Thomas out of Wilmington. Well, the guy out of Pittsburgh was J. Michael. And I think he was on WCAE in a Jaybird. And he was pretty big, but, you know, and he had a lot of people like Brenda Lee and Bobby Rydell, but mostly like Fats Domino and stuff, and it was pretty good. I'm trying to think what else there was in Pittsburgh. What else? 6 o'clock Hop, and that was Channel 11, but I think that was Chili Billy. Don't ask me his last name. But anyway, but Chili Billy. And then, yeah, Clark Race, of course, at Dance Party. But that was later, because he didn't start that till like 63. The original host on that, once again, long forgotten, a guy named Randy Hall.
Okay, I've heard that name.
Yeah, yeah, so there were, but you know, the Clark Race, because that was on KDKA, of course, so, you know, that was a big deal for a while, but,
Wasn't KDKA kind of top 40?
Oh, radio.
Radio, yeah.
Format du jour.
Oh, okay.
You know, more than anything, I wouldn't call them top 40, but you know, KQV, yes, by all means.
Yeah.
But
with a bad signal.
Yeah, exactly. And then of course a lot more, but I'm you know, Westinghouse did Top 40 Light in a number of places, like they did at BZ and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I'm hesitating, but I think there was a period, but I wouldn't call it, you know, it was really weird, because in the 50s, of course, the fact that they did anything at all was interesting. And so, you know, and then they got Reach Kordick, and I loved Reach Kordick, by the way, the morning man. He had been at WWSW, and they hired him away. And then when, what's his name, the guy who went to Hogan's Heroes, Bob Crane, when he left KNX, Reach Kordick got hired, and he died in L.A. He just died. He made a good living as a voiceover guy, but his shows on KDKA were just the absolute best. And hilarious. He, old frothing slock, that was a beer with the foam on the bottom and things like that. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff like that. But, you know, KDKA television, of course, that came because they purchased the Dumont station. And
right.
That's how that came. But in terms of radio, when I think of KDKA, I would say, as KQV started to get stronger, they added some stuff. But, you know, I think when Reach Kordick left, they might have added some more, and then they got Jack Bogut. You know, and then, you know, they tried it, because after all, Big Jack Armstrong was there for a minute. So there were spurts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the 70s, they were pop adult.
Right. Adult contemporary.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, yeah, I'd say their top 40 moment there, maybe.
Yeah. And it's interesting, because you were talking about WIND, and that was Westinghouse.
Yeah.
And I was curious about, and I sent you a link to that WCBS tribute site just now.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll look for that.
And what a shame, you know, to see that station go. Really, I mean, my opinion on that.
Absolutely.
It's all about business, right?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's no longer about greed. It's about desperation.
Yeah.
You know, you just, when you're handed that much money on a platter for an LMA, and you've got another all-news station, which I've heard outbilled WCBS. I don't know if that's true, but I have heard that INS did outbill them. I don't know. But certainly strong, then it makes a certain amount of sense, again, when you're in desperation mode.
Well, going FM helped them, too.
Well, right.
I think.
Yeah, that can be said about
INS.
Said about just about anything, sadly, because, you know, like I say, you rent any car, it can have 40,000 miles on it at the Hertz lot, and the AM presets are still what the factory had set.
Yeah. I still, the way they promoted it, it's 1010 wins on 92.3 FM. it sounds so weird.
Yeah, I want to say bingo. You know, too many numbers.
Yeah, exactly. It just sounds strange to me, but I just I was curious about you. You mentioned Dan Sorkin WIND and CFL. I mean, when did IND? What were they? They were middle of the road.
They were absolutely MOR, and that is why Robert went there. You see, what happened was Robert had, you know, always had in his mind he was going to be the number one morning man in L.A., and of course he was by the time he was 30 years old, actually before that. And so at that point, that's when, you know, boredom sets in, and he decides, well, I want to be on KMPC. Now, the reason for that is multifold. Not only is it the Cadillac of broadcasting and Gene Autry and all that stuff, but when it came to voiceover, they just absolutely wouldn't hire, you know, for any of those calls, rock and roll disc jockeys. But they hated it. Well, that's why Gary Owens absolutely left early on KFWB and went over to KMPC, of course. And but KMPC was revered by everybody. And a lot of those guys had game shows and things like that. So it was a natural. So here's Robert, the number one morning man. He goes over to the general manager at KMPC and basically says, I want to work for. And the guy says, you don't have any MOR experience. And he says, well, I'll go get some. And so he went to WIND and was there for a year and absolutely hated it. I mean, I remember so well some of the complaints, like he said, it's freezing cold outside. You go in anywhere, you're sweating completely. You know, I said, how can they not get this right? Oh. And I mean, he was from Ohio originally. You'd think that he would, but no, he didn't. And so after a year, he went back to KHJ. And then, of course, that's what started the Morgan Tuna feud, because they moved Tuna out of mornings and he was pissed. But a lot of people understood they moved Tuna out of mornings because Morgan was so much better. In any event, Morgan took his job back. But he still wanted to get over there. And he did. He got over there. They had a position at KMPC called Swing, where you basically got a full-time union salary, but you were only working weekends and fill-in. And he did that for a few years. And that's when he syndicated that record report thing, Robert Jorgen record report. And then he got, through Watermark, he got that special of the week. And then when the regime changed at KMPC, in fact, when Michael O'Shea came as national PD, they put him in Morning Drive. And that would have been like 79 or early 80. Yeah.
Okay.
Then he stayed there till he got lured away by MS Magic, which, you know, that was not a radio station that was going to work, but it paid him well for a year. But then, of course, he was completely out of work, and that was the first time he was ever out of work. And that's when I had a real problem on my hands, because he'd call me every 15 minutes, you know. Yeah, for like 2 years, you know, and then finally when he got work, I had a celebration. So in any event, that was the deal. And he went after that. He got back to work and at KMPC again for a lot less money. And then he built it up, and then he went over to K-Earth later and then died. That was the deal.
You know, and then at one point you had KFI, too. That was...
Yeah, KFI, the many instances of KFI, you know, I'll tell you, when they first went talk, I thought, well, somebody should, because no doubt about it, KBC was still number one in the ratings, but it was obvious listening to it that that's because news talk lagged, people were still going to write it down in the diaries, and anybody who had half a brain knew that, you know, it just wasn't there. And so when KFI went talk, I thought to myself, well, that's a good idea, but they'll never stick it out. Well, boy, was I wrong. It was Cox, and they did stick it out, and it took them almost 5 years, but boy, did they become viable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were willing to stick it out. So hang on a minute. Don't go away. And that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Tequila, and that was Marianne in Chicago's request. And that was Chuck Rio. That was his stage name. Danny Flores was his real name. And he wrote it. In fact, he's the guy who says Tequila. And he also created the raunchy saxophone riff in it. And, of course, Dave Burgess, the Champs, recorded that. And it was a B-side, actually, on Challenge, which was Gene Autry's label, back to KMPC, and back to Nick in Baltimore.
Hey, Wally. We'll wrap real quick because you got to hit the break and you got all these calls waiting. But I've really enjoyed. I've learned so much. I know I say that over and over again.
Well, most of it's utterly useless information, but
Not to me, and not to the people out there.
But a lot of it, sadly, will it'll die with us. And like on Tequila, yeah. A lot of people don't realize when Chuck Rio walked off, and that was quite the story. But Jimmy Seals replaced him and was in the Champs for a while. So a lot of star power in that group for a moment there. Not to mention Dave Burgess. So yeah. Absolutely. Well, I got about a minute and a half before I go to news, so spend it with me. What else?
Well, I just wanted to say that I learned a lot from, you know, I always learn a lot from you and your wealth of knowledge, and it just brings back memories because as a kid, I remember a lot of this stuff, and it's amazing. I think back. And I remember these radio stations from all over that you could get, you know, before the internet. And it was just so much fun.
Well, you know, it was the beauty of most of them, obviously not the network ONOs by any means, but a lot of these independent stations, they were virtually worthless. And, you know, all these people who say pioneers, they really took a chance. You're not taking a chance when what you have isn't worth anything. You know, and this is not in any way to demean Todd Storrs. I will say everything good about that man and should, and I can't stop talking about him and raving about him. But that said, he bought WTIX for $25,000. What kind of chance did that man take, you know? So that's the difference when we're talking about a WCBS going away from all news. You look at the dollars that are spent on these radio stations, and the reality is they could be sold out and they still wouldn't be able to pay back that debt service. So of course it affects programming directly. And you know, just like the records, these were independent businessmen coming back from World War II who can get a job in real companies. And they you know, they were the Moish Levy's was maybe an exaggeration, but they all had a little Moish in them, you know. And how much did they spend on a record? You know, maybe $100. So why not take shots at it? And that's what made it so great. So I always say, well, if you're looking for real creativity, wait for something to be worthless.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks a lot. And
absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. And
all right.
Talk to you soon. All right. And on that note, we pick it up next hour. We got James. We got Cindy. We got Tubby's calling back, and Leah and Marcus Hook. And maybe Jim will call in. I was thinking about Jim earlier. In fact, while I was crashing to the ground, Jim crossed my mind, and I'll explain that too. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me as long you wanted, and then someday you'd leave me for somebody new. Worry, why do I? Thinking that my love could hold you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Patsy Cline. 1961, on Decca, a circuitous route it took to get to her, Willie Nelson wrote it. Tubby requested it, and Willie had run into Pappy Daly while he was working in Dallas, and Pappy confused him, convinced him, maybe confused him too, now that I think about it, to move to Houston, and he did. He was writing for the label and doing other things. It was D Records, I think. Anyway, nothing really happened. He then moved to Nashville, and he was a writer for a publishing company there. And through Hank Cochran, yeah, I see them and more, through Hank Cochran, the song reached Patsy Cline. And, of course, that's all it took, because it was Owen Bradley who, of course, recorded that at Bradley Studios in August of 1961, released it in October. And if that's not a standard, I don't know what is. So that was the deal there. All right, so with that in mind, let us see what Leah and Marcus Hook has to say for herself. What's up, Leah?
Oh, well, hi. How are you, Raleigh?
I'm in pain. How are you?
Not too much pain, but...
Good.
That's because I'm on Percocet.
Oh, well, yes, that would do it.
I actually have information for Jim.
What do you know? What do you know?
Okay. Well, I found something interesting, actually.
Yeah.
They do have a specialized transit for seniors and disabled, but in with a 70-mile radius of Elkhorn. So
okay.
That would be in Walworth County.
Right.
I got it from their website.
Okay.
But it's the same phone number as the Dial-A-Ride.
Uh-huh, because it probably is the same institution.
It's not. You have to ask for this specially.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that. But, I mean, the same people who are putting together Dial-A-Ride are probably in charge of this as well.
Yeah. So it's 262-723-4402.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And you have to ask for it specially. You have to ask for the specialized transit for seniors and disabled.
Okay.
And advance reservations are required.
Oh, of course.
You can't just pick up the phone and
oh,
call
sure.
and say, I need a ride, you know, today.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so that's what
Good.
They said. They said they do have it for seniors and disabled, and they have a specialized transit. You just have to call the same number for Dial-A-Ride and request it specially.
No, that's great to know. Now we're going to find out when he dials it, how reliable it is in actually hooking him up with stuff. You know, sometimes a lot of services claim to be available, but then you try to get them. But hopefully he'll have luck.
They said it's ADA approved.
Oh, I'm sure it all is all that, but it's still going to be dependent upon who they have to drive and what they have to drive and all those other things, that budget constraints that areas have. You know, so we'll see. But that's hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah, and they said it's a 70-mile radius, so I'm sure he's not going farther than that for a doctor's appointment.
No, well, I mean, Janesville's only, as far as driving, it's about 20 minutes, but it's about 14, 15 miles, so it's Rock County,
yeah.
But I assume they'll go out of the county.
Oh, I'm sure.
So.
I'm sure.
Well, that's good information to have. I will absolutely...
70 miles radius is definitely out of the county.
Yeah. I will absolutely pass it on. That's great.
Okay, great.
Well,
thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks for doing
that. All right, sure.
All right, good deal. So, all right, when Jim calls, we'll give him all that information. That is good stuff to have. Now, Tubby in Chicago, welcome back to WGN.
Thank you, Raleigh. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm in pain, but other than that, I'm okay.
Yeah, take it to the mental level, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yes, agreed.
Take it to the mental level.
Yep.
Anyway, I should have been lots of Friday, Saturday after set.
Yeah.
After I became a chef and failed at and spoiled my Rockefeller scholarship at Antioch. But anyway, I realized when I did my meditation that I failed to mention that I want to acknowledge all the people that I helped, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that make it a point, and it took me a long time in my life to get to the point where I realized that part of my purpose on this earth was to be helpful, okay? So when I wake up, if I'm not feeling it, like I think I will, because I keep politics and religious stuff out of certain conversations.
Yes.
But if you go to the state, and so I won't use certain words when I'm talking to you, just use your imagination.
Yes.
That you have a state of mind of, you know, being helpful. You go to a level where you, you know, you tell yourself, I'm going to be helpful to people. And take yourself away from your own personal whatever.
Yes.
Because, and I always try to remember, there's a whole lot of people that are worse off than me. So I was telling you that I had decided on that day when somebody, something came on TV or something, and I always had a thing about, you know, when people, they give too much credit for, you know, material stuff. But, you know, when you're out there for some reason, when you lose everything, and you, some people work so hard to get to a point, but this life is not a material life. You really, and it's insane that people think that, oh, I work for all these positions and stuff. But there's always three sides to the story.
Yeah.
My side, your side, and the truth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is, I want to let people know that when I made that statement yesterday, I want them to know that I'm very grateful for the people who have realized they're always in a position to be helpful. Okay, and so when you get up, you ain't got to focus on the negative. Like I said, if you learn to manage adversity, you got a lot going on in your corner because you're going to have adversity.
Yes.
Whether you want it or not.
Yes.
Okay, it's on. So I write in every journal. When I start a journal out, every time I start a new journal, it says, it's from the program, but it said, my boyfriend said one day, this lady, she asked, do you know Bill W?
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
You know who Bill W? Because she had gone, it was her first time. And she said, who is Bill W?
Oh, she
was so funny. But anyway, I write, acceptance is the answer to all my prayers today. Okay. Mm. And when before I start writing anything, so I want to make an acknowledgement to all the people who do help people. And have done stuff, gone out of their way. And actually, it takes you off the focus. There's another statement in the other books that says you will never satisfy the flesh. So you can keep on running the streets and wasting up all your money and focusing only on yourself, and you will find that you will never master that. Okay,
right.
That ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen, okay? You can go and do, and you can go get overweight and blah, blah, blah. I'm preaching now. Okay, the last thing, so my example, I might as well get my... This is Joe Morton. And I told you I was going to tell you the story one day. And this is a perfect example for me. So I got all gussied up. Me and my mother lived over there by Clarkson Division near Ann Sadler's off of Belmont. Tommy, I called Tommy Tunney. Daddy, I called David or Uncle David. David or I called him Uncle David. But they're old dear friends because they're consistent in who they are, okay? They show up for life on their terms, but they're not disrespectful to people. So anyway, I got all gussied up and went down there, and I know where they come in, the cars come in, because me and my mother used to go to Ladies' Day, and it used to be $1 to get in. So when they would let on Fridays, they would let us out early from chef's training, and I meet Mama by the first and third baseline. They had a section for the late, you know.
Yeah.
We just knew where to meet each other. Okay, so I got all gussied up. And so around 2008, people who know baseball know, Sunday Night Baseball, was showing a whole lot of clubs on Sunday Night Baseball. So I went down there. When they were coming in, Joe Morton, I pulled him over to the side. I said, I need to ask you something. I want you to do a shout-out for my mother. My mother was bedridden at this point.
Yeah.
And my mother worked at over 80-something. That was on the sign. She typed over 100 words a minute, okay, as a transcriber. She was also a nurse in Michigan before she came here. But when you came here, you had to do more school to be a nurse. So
right.
She had four kids. She did, but just went on and became a transcriber.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Joe said, well, they don't let us do no shout outs. You know what I'm saying? On ESPN. So what he did was he gave me, he said, give me your phone number. I gave him our phone number. And don't you know that man called the house one day? He said, Master Jamari Scott. I said, who's calling? My little white girl officer.
Right.
He said, this is Joe Morgan. I said, what's up, Joe? And he said, I'm calling to talk to your mom. My mom was on her deathbed. I think that was just so special. So anybody who knows baseball knows that Joe and John Joe, John always made sure he saw the play. And so I'm going to let y'all know these new newscasters that be talking about stuff that don't nobody care about. So you talk about stuff that people care about. And they would talk about stuff. And they would, so every time Joe be talking, and then John always called the play. 2 and 3 or whatever was going on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for all you new guys that don't know, that if you're listening on the radio, you want to call. Every time there's a pitch,
mm-hmm.
you need to know what's going on, okay? And it was so nice that he called my mama.
Yeah.
And, so people do things that they don't have to do. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that was just extra special to me. And one more thing. I always make notes because it's important. Because I got so many stories. Okay. The Jazz Fest.
Uh-huh.
They put it from Pritzker to Millennium Park. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
But now, everybody in the world be going through their strollers, families. I don't mind they go down there. But see, when it was at Pritzker, and I worked all the venues at when they had the, what was it, Taste of Chicago?
Uh-huh.
I worked everything, waste management, everything. I worked food. I did it all. Security. Anyway, so now you could just mosey on up. They had it down to a science where if the program said so-and-so was coming at 7:45, that's what time they did it. And I knew the stage manager, and I used to holler, hey, Shelly,
yeah.
when I got there. And it was so cool. And I was standing next to some guys from Sweden one night, and it had became a world-class event where people were coming in just for the Chicago Jazz.
Yeah.
See, now you know, like I know, like all my buddies, they're gone. Eddie Harris, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All the mainliners that we knew when jazz was coming into its, you know, full blossom, all the people are gone.
Oh, I know.
It's like all the ones, you know, it was just, and people just really don't realize until you're with them, and it's like a real relaxed, cool situation, and they're always teaching you something new. And so I was like, I went down there. I always used to go down there and get the programs, office special events. And I used to house sit for Lois Weisberg.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, she handled that, okay, back in the day. And I get my programs so I would know exactly what time I wanted to go, not to get backstage, but to
right.
listen to the jazz.
Sure.
And you would just come in, like that night, I remember Sarah Vaughan played one night, and it started to rain. I jumped in a cab over there by Goodman on Monroe, and when I got home, I was able to catch the whole, I taped the whole set, because I lived up on Pine Grove and Waverly, and I was able to get, I got it on tape, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of her best performances ever, because she was into it, okay? And I'm just saying that, you know, that's the kind of life you look forward to. So when I came in tonight, it was so nice. I had already put my radio, turned to you. I didn't get into about 10:35. And when I came in, I was like, you're talking, and you. I came home to something. I look forward to coming to my house because it's just me. And so what do you do with all that? You manifest it by teaching young people, being a good example for young people. You try to set an example for somebody else. There was a guy that used to call the game out of Michigan. I grew up listening to baseball on the radio out mm-hmm. of Detroit. And I can't think of his name. And I've got it written down in my major notes. I got a big binder with notes for everything, my history stuff I studied. And he was just, I grew up listening to this guy, so I know you got the call. So anyway, thanks for playing Crazy.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Just be thankful to all the people that are helpful. Because that's, like I said, the couple that sent me the phone, she used to be a nun. What's her name? I know sister, what's her name from over there, Loyola, the one that with the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
They got me her little thing. But all those BBMs were very specific about teaching. They were focused on what they were doing. And I love them to death. So, you know, me and Alice, that's 1968, you know?
Sure.
That I met her. And so her husband was Jewish, but I would be sitting at the, you didn't have to sit at another place. You weren't shunned. And we're talking Uncle Ambrose and Uncle Kelly. Yeah. And we're at the kitchen table down Granville, that duplex building. And her brother-in-law owned the building. And they were trying to think of somebody. And so finally they said, you know, the one that used to come in after the election. And I realized that whole daily scenario about how they used to do it. They used to always say how he did it. It was the ones that came in. And it was the people. So this is a good shout out. But it was the people who never voted.
Right.
That was the thing. It was, they knew who never voted. So they went to everybody go. Then they went to the roll. And then the people voted, but they didn't know they voted, okay?
Right. But nothing changes.
Day, you are a blessing, and keep it up.
Well, thanks for calling, Tubby. It's always good to hear from you. And thanks for mentioning the Jazz Festival, because it's going on as we speak.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a big time to check out the new ones, okay?
You betcha. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Feel better.
Right. Thanks.
Bye.
All right. So, yes, you can read all about it online if you want, but today through Sunday, and a lot of different performances, and every one of them is free. That's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Unforgettable. That's what you are. Unforgettable, though near or far. Like a song of love that clings to me, how the thought of you does things to me. Never before has someone been more unforgettable in every way. And forevermore, that's how you'll stay. That's why, darling, it's incredible that someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was Laura and Willowbrook's request. I probably don't have to identify it, but Nat King Cole, and unforgettable, he indeed was. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Fran, we got to Cindy and Chuck in Rockford, and Jim in Richmond, and Carl in Chicago. Carl, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Hanging in there. I never thought I'd make 80.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you know Howard Miller Chicago?
I knew who he was. He was never anybody I knew personally, but I knew a lot of people who knew him, and I know he died in Naples in like 94. But, you know, his old radio shows, the early ones, are still available online. There's like 225 shows if you want to hear them.
Yeah, he used to sell land in Arizona. Tech Arizona.
Yeah, he did a lot of things. But of course, you know, he was program director of IND in the 40s. And then in the 50s, he became their morning man. And he stayed there until 68. And yep. I don't know if you remember this, but what got him kicked off the air was his reaction to a march in 1968, where he pretty much said that they should all be shot. And that was kind of the end of his career for a minute, because Westinghouse had a player pay provision where if they paid him, he couldn't work anywhere else, and they weren't going to put him back on the air. Ultimately, he won, and he went to CFL for a while, and then, of course, he was back on the air in a number of places, and then did some conservative talk before he died.
Yeah, the land that he was selling in Toltec, Arizona, was basically it was a fraud. It was worthless. They built a bunch of sidewalks and streets And that's all it ever ended up being. And there was like some people that bought land in Toltec, and they went to the Chicago Tribune for help to get their money back, and the Tribune helped them out because the whole thing was a big fraud. And to this day, Toltec is still small and relatively undeveloped.
It is, well, you're right, it's small, but it's right off of I-10. So because of that, it's somewhat developed. There's quite a few homes and stuff like that in the community center and all that, Toltec. But yes, a lot of those people, if it wasn't Arizona land, another big one was New Mexico. I'm trying to think of the city right now because I still get mailings from people who had passed away, and I guess the state thinks they'll get me to pay the taxes. I don't think so. But that, and of course, all the Florida land. So that was pretty much well known.
That area is, I guess it's also called Eloy.
Right. Well, Eloy is a little further, and Picacho. Yeah, of course. This is all off I-10. And
right.
It's an interesting situation. I actually pass it somewhat regularly because it's one way you can get to Tucson.
You pass Toltec?
Yeah, sure. You can go through it, right through it there. After the Gila Indian Reservation and all that, you go through Toltec, Eloy, Picacho, and then you get down to Marana, which means you've made it pretty much to the Tucson area. But sure.
But I used to listen to him driving home from the University of Illinois in the late '60s, and it was interesting talk radio at the time. You know, it was probably one of the only talk radios. He was pretty early.
Well, actually, depending on where you were, really 1960 was the real start of it. But certainly the 60s, there weren't as many because, of course, they didn't have satellite-delivered programming. So it got expensive for a lot of people to put on talk. But I'm sure that by the time 1970 rolled around, people who'd been listening to him in 1952, they were aghast with what he was saying on the radio.
Yep. He was a predecessor to Rush Limbaugh,
yeah, supposedly. In some ways, yeah. It was just, actually, in some ways, mild conservative talk, but it was enough to be very unsettling to some Chicagoans.
Yeah. But I heard you fell down. What did you do?
You know, this is just so crazy. I had come in through the back door, and we've got, at the studios, we've got a very large area that's all nicely tiled, and it was dark. And I know very well what's in front of me, like where there's equipment and all that. Well, somebody had moved two UPS power supplies, and of course, my vision, I didn't see them. So I hit them, and I went flying. And I landed on the right side of my face and on my teeth. But what I realize now, because I was carrying packages, apparently in my right hand I was carrying something, and I must have landed on my wrist. So in addition to the tooth, and of course, you know, I've got a thigh, a shin that's cut open and all that. But I'm really surprised by this wrist pain because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine, you know, like anything else, it'll be fine. But yeah, I was lucky, you know, because after all, being a senior of the seniors, if you fall and break your hips, you got real problems. And that was nowhere to be a problem. Of course, my head, I did split open my face.
Yeah, I think I know you. You're fairly lightweight, so that's in your favor.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So I know a person that fell, and they were fairly heavy, and they fell and they broke their leg.
Oh my God!
So, luckily, when you're lighter, gravity is your friend. You know, you're not too heavy. You know.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely light, so that does help, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm glad you're okay. You sound okay, but I know facial bruises, they heal pretty quick. Your face is pretty vascular, so...
Yeah, right. The face will be fine. And Tuesday when I get to the dentist, what happened was I've got permanent retainers, and in the fall, it bent one of them. And so now there's a lot of pressure on a tooth to move it in a direction that it shouldn't be moving. So I'll feel that for a few days, but then we'll get that straightened out. And then depending if the wrist doesn't get any better, I guess I'll have it x-rayed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'll be fine.
You take care, you get better.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks for calling. So, 888-876-5593. Before we get to Jim and everybody else, I want to tell you that it is time. The time has come. I know you've been waiting for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
What's the matter, baby? Is it hurting you?
I'm Lolly James, and Timmy Euro, indeed, 1961 on Liberty. Clyde Otis wrote it and produced it, and Bert Keys arranged it. Yeah, Mr. Doo-doo-doo-ba-a. All right, so that was Brian and Joliet who wanted to hear Timmy. And I don't have to have my arm twisted to do that. Like her a lot. All right, so 888-876-5593. I was about to go to Jim, but I saw Mary Ellen in Oak Lawn has advice for Jim. So Mary Ellen, welcome back to WGN. What you got for me?
Oh, hi, Raleigh. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you're okay. I had a fall a couple weeks ago myself, and it's so scary. So, yeah. Glad you're all right for now.
Yep.
Anyway, my ideas for Jim, I'm putting notes down here. There's three of them. I've got some disability things that were going on for a long time, so maybe not right now. But, you know, if you'd keep it in mind to think about a support group, maybe sometimes doing it by Zoom. I'm not real techie, but I know there's Zoom everything now. But in a support group, I've gone to those for many, many years, and I learned from other people walking that path before me. It just cuts through a lot of red tape. Like a lot of these ideas people are calling in with, you know, it sort of cuts to the chase, learning from each other. So it's a real good learning tool, for one thing. And then, what was the next thing? Oh, okay. And then I had a great aunt. And she was a retired nurse, and she had a big house, and she used to rent out rooms to boarders. And I think, you know, they have to be real careful situation and screening, and his son from Florida could probably, you know, be handling, overseeing some of that, and people in the neighborhood, maybe a couple of friends, you know, to make sure everything's going okay. Even if it was for students, there's something temporary, so you're not stuck with somebody, you know, forever. But it's just a thought helping to get some home help.
And it is good,
but the last thing,
what I was going to say
I don't know, it hasn't been brought up before, but maybe down the line, thinking about an idea of a seeing eye dog, and I don't know that much about it, but I would imagine there's a long waiting list, and maybe it's something he might not be interested in right now, but at least to get information about it and maybe getting his name on a list.
All right, good idea. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it, Mary Ellen. Thanks for the suggestions.
Oh, you're welcome. And can I ask for three requests sometime?
Yeah, sure. Which one here?
Okay, let's see. Gee Whiz, the original.
Okay.
And Michael Jackson, or the Jackson 5, Who's Loving You Now?
Okay.
And then the last one, I know you played this the last time and I missed hearing it. I felt so bad. I'm the one that likes The Body and Fender Man.
Oh, yeah, I like that song, actually. I do. Now, on Gee Whiz, are you talking about the Carla Thomas Gee Whiz?
I don't know. I just heard the one by Bernadette Peters, which was a remake.
Yeah, okay,
whatever you think would be a good original.
No, that is the original of that song, but there's another song with the same title that I really like, but it's a completely different song. I might play you both of them. But I know you're. If Bernadette Peters covered it, you're talking about the Carla Thomas record, and I do have the original.
Oh, okay.
Okay, sure.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I love your show. I keep telling everybody about it.
Ah, that's very kind of you, and thanks for calling. Do it again soon.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Good night.
All right. So now, with that in mind, let us move over to Jim in Richmond. So, Jim, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I want to apologize for my phone call last night. I was so very emotional.
I understand.
And I just wanted to apologize for that. Then I heard you earlier before one of the news breaks that when you fell, you were thinking of me.
I was. And I'll tell you why, actually, is that, you know, when I'm at this location where the stations are, it's probably a lot like you in Richmond, Wisconsin, where it's very small. There's not a lot of services. And I think if I were in your position, as hard as it is, I would be wanting not to go into a group home or assisted living or anything like that, but I'd want to be going to a more major city where there were all sorts of resources for me. I think it's hurting you that you're in Richmond.
Right.
And so that's something to think about down the road.
And I also was impressed that you knew how many miles it was to Janesville from my house on that other caller.
Well, I used to live in Rockford. So, you know,
right. So
you drive around, you get to know Rock County and Walworth County and all that. I mean, you know, it's funny because in a way it's really out of the way. But the other side of that is compared to the West, you're in the middle of people everywhere, you know, because here you can drive for 2 or 3 hours and not see a soul.
Right.
So,
And I have, I found transportation. It's called VIP.
Yes.
And but they only serve Walworth. You know, it's called Wall to Wall. In other words, anywhere in Walworth County, they'll take you. And I set it up for next Thursday's appointment.
Good.
And they were very nice. They kept calling me back and getting more and more information and all that.
Good.
And it's because of my age, and it's only going to cost me $3 to get to Whitewater.
Good.
And $3 to get back, and
Good.
It's all been set up. But
Good.
Then when I was told the date of my appointment in Whitewater by my friend, she said the 6th, but it's actually the 5th.
Oh,
so
geez.
I called back the next day, and I said, I made a mistake. And, you know, the next day when I found out, I do that all the time, the lady in the office
okay,
says,
good.
You know, we'll correct it, and it'll be on the 5th.
Good.
So that
good.
Was good. And then she had mentioned a phone number, and I got
262-723,
yes. and that was all I got.
4402.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I think I've dialed that number before. I'm not sure, but
well,
I just wrote it down now.
You probably dialed it for Dial-A-Ride, but what Leah was saying is ask them for specialized transit for seniors and disabled. It's another program.
Right.
And but, supposedly they'll take you anywhere within a 70-mile radius of Elkhorn.
Right, and that's what I was hoping. So if I needed to go
to Janesville or something.
Pharmacy in Janesville to pick up a prescription, because it's hard for me to find people willing to give me a ride, even though I've given rides to millions of people.
Oh, I know.
I did see.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, Jim, what you find out the older you get, you find out you do have more friends than you thought you did, but they're never the ones you thought they were. The people you're depending on, those are the ones who absolutely didn't come through for you. But then out of the blue, somebody else does.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way life is.
And you know, and I'm grateful to the listeners, and I've told you that before.
Oh, sure.
And in so far as I do have a spare bedroom, and my brother keeps telling me to have someone. I do not want anybody else in my house.
I understand.
I don't want to be responsible for meals and all that kind of stuff.
I understand that completely. Hang on a minute.
Right.
Don't go away. Got to do the news. I'll be right back right here on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
Wasn't true, and you passed them by. Though you're in the center ring, and their lines don't mean a thing, why don't you let me try?
Let me try.
Now I don't wear a diamond ring. I don't even know a song to sing. All I
la 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 la
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There they are, the Delphonics. And so odd for me because it is my all-time favorite Delphonics record, and it is their absolutely biggest hit, their first hit, not by any means their first release. It was actually the fourth thing they released on Philly Groove. They had something on Cameo before it, and then on Moonshot originally in 66. But in 68, on Philly Groove, they put out four records, and it took four, too, to come up with La La Means I Love You. And indeed, it was Stacy who requested that in Algonquin, so we'll get to Stacy as well. But right now, we're continuing with Jim in Richmond. All right, Jim, I forget where we were.
You're talking about having someone move in with me.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. And I understand
right.
that. I understand that
right.
for a lot of reasons. So I don't think
right.
that, you know, if it was a different situation, but when you're talking about A, having to share your house, and B, you don't see, you know, there's so much that you can't monitor that it's just not
right.
comfortable. But I think
right.
at some point, if you would think about moving to a much larger place where there are lots of services, you'd probably be better off.
Right. And yeah, that's, you know, if I still lived in Skokie,
right.
there is millions of people
yes. Yes.
that would come in a minute if I needed them.
And that's the kind of thing to think about.
Right.
Because, anything's possible. Don't feel like you can't do it, because anything's possible.
Right.
The other thing that I liked on the suggestion was, have you ever thought about a dog?
I have bear, but I don't need them yet, but it may come down to that in the future.
You might want to check and get on lists now. There are several organizations
right.
that provide them, and you want to be on the list long before you need it, so that when the time comes,
right.
you'll have that option. So that's a few things, but yeah. So I feel better about that. So now, what else?
Yeah. I can't trust Bear. He'd walk me into a
no,
wall.
No. You need a dog that is fully trained as a seeing eye dog. Bear
right.
is a wonderful pet, but that's not the
right.
same thing.
Right, and moving into assisted living is
no.
my son down in
well,
Florida,
right.
who really doesn't know my situation here. He's never been to my house here,
and he means
so
well.
He really.
You know, he means
right.
well, but I bristle. I mean, mm-hmm. assisted living is fine when you're at a point where you really cannot make it on your own. But to do
right.
that, to do that prematurely is just a heartbreaker.
Right, because I see, I can walk around outside. I see very well, but it's not, what would you say? I can't see detail. In
yeah,
other words,
but, you know,
could be standing
sure.
5 feet away from me. And I can't see your face, but I can see you standing there.
Right,
you know?
But even if you couldn't see anything, that still might not necessitate assisted living. You know, there's many
right.
people who are absolutely blind who don't have to be in assisted living. So
right.
I'm not knocking it when the time comes and it's absolutely mandatory. But kids always suggest that because it's easier for them, frankly. It's like, well, I won't have
right.
to worry about it. No, but it's just a killer as far as I'm concerned. And I wouldn't
right.
do that until it was a last resort.
Right. And so, like, I took this number that
yeah.
you gave me.
Good.
And I will talk to them about trips to Janesville and stuff.
Good.
And that. And I wanted to say it's a few more things. If anyone is type 1, diabetes,
uh-huh.
I recommend the Freestyle Libre 3, the
oh,
one
yeah.
I just got.
Yeah.
Oh, it is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've been watching. You get minute-to-minute reports.
Yep.
And my friend, she keeps telling me, you eat too much for breakfast, and that's why your blood sugar goes
yeah.
up. So I ate the same thing today, and I was watching it, and it didn't go up, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think they're tremendous, and
right.
and they're absolutely painless, and they're not invasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going into your dermis. It's not going to a vein or anything like that. So there's no
right.
danger there. You don't feel it. And the neat
mm-hmm.
thing is, you're gonna get some surprises. You're gonna find the things that you thought were okay weren't, and you're gonna find that things
mm-hmm.
that you thought were really dangerous might be okay. So it's a lot of fun, actually.
Right. I took pizza out because that's
yeah.
what. You know,
well,
shoots it up.
Right, right.
And then,
and try
and
it.
And then the other thing is, you've been playing music that I love today.
Oh, good. Good.
And I wanted to request, please, if you could play At Last.
Oh, Etta James, sure. Okay.
Yeah, because I heard Cyndi Lauper sing it on TV show Bones.
Yeah.
And I'm going, that's not what I used to hear.
No, no. Well, I love Cyndi Lauper, but she sure is no Etta James.
Right. And if you can play that. And
sure.
And we'll tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
I enjoyed hearing you and Adam talk between commercials and stuff.
Yeah, when I'm in this studio, that comes across on hold. When I'm not, it's not there. It's wired differently. But yeah, it comes across on the stream as well. All right, well, thanks.
And I just thought that was cool.
Good.
And I thank you and your audience for everything you've helped me with. And
absolutely.
And now, tomorrow, if it was today that you fell, tomorrow you're going to feel it.
Oh, I know.
So at least you got 3 days off to...
Well,
recover.
Yeah, except I like I said, I got to go to Tucson and there's going to be a lot of walking and a lot of stuff involved, but I'll do it. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you Monday night, Labor Day.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye. Yeah, the wrist was kind of surprising because I didn't feel it at all when I fell. In fact, I afterwards got up and washed my hair. You know, my face was a mess and all that and the teeth and, you know, everything else, but didn't feel it at all. And then a little before the show started, it was like, whoa, boy. No, we'll see. I expect it will be worse tomorrow. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to Fran in Austin. How's it going, Fran?
Oh, it's going better than it is for you.
Yeah, that'd be true for everybody. You're right.
Yeah, I fell on my face about, oh, God, I can't remember how many years ago it was, and knocked out a couple of teeth had to get stitches in my face and it was terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to thank you very much for putting your book on your page there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fantastic. We downloaded it and we have it as a PDF.
Yay.
And so we can now, we read it quite a while back, Kansas City Kimberly did a file of it, but there were a lot of places where
you kind of wondered. Right. Yeah. You kind of wondered.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I don't understand what I'm saying here, or skip places. And, you know, I mean, I'm not criticizing Kimberly.
No,
I think it was wonderful for her to do that.
Yeah.
So, but now I can hear the things that were not. So,
absolutely.
There were a couple of like whole pages that were, kind of garbled.
Yeah. So. Well, I expect they're all there. If they're not, let me know. But my buddy David Gleason was kind enough to put it on his site, and I'm indebted to him for it. And I put the direct link on Raleigh.net for anybody who wants to read it absolutely free. Because when I saw that they were trying to sell it on Amazon for a couple $100, I said, no, don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted people to know, too, because a lot of people were saying, do you have it in audio? Do you have it in audio?
Yeah.
So, I downloaded it as a PDF and I use it if anybody has Voice Dream Reader or something like that.
It'll work.
It's very easy to read with that. You can use different voices
And
you can read it on the link too, but you have to read it with just your computer voice.
Right. But I made sure that the PDF was such that it could be read, because sometimes they come out as graphical user interface.
Yes.
And I'm like, that will not work. And so, this one, anybody can read. And if anybody wants to read it, they go to Raleigh.net and I have it, I think, under the Tuesday, August 27th post. And it's absolutely free. And I just want everybody to tell me how they like it or didn't like it or what they did like about it or what their favorite parts were.
Well, I really like it. And also, I'm really glad that Jim got a ride. When your kids, your family, or people around you think that, and I'm blind from birth, and so I know I'm coming at it from a different view.
Oh.
Very different. I mean, I can't imagine.
Boy, have you.
Blind at my age now, or 70, because not only that, when I was coming up, I've done some counseling with for people. I used to work volunteer at the Veterans Administration in you know, help some people who are going blind there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were much more as far as, you know, if you went to the ophthalmologist and you're going blind, I mean, they're giving you services, they're giving you mobility, they're giving, you know, now yeah. you can't get mobility lessons. I mean, you know, and as far as, I think it's good advice to try to, that's the reason we live in Austin, because of the paratransit, because
right.
of the services. You know, you've heard me say many times, I don't like Austin.
Yeah.
And I don't. And we've thought about moving to some other small town in Texas or, you know, something like that, but
no.
then we wouldn't have the services that we have. And you can't rely all the time on friends doing things for you.
Exactly. And you don't want to. You want the independence of that.
Yeah, the more independence. But, you know, I know that when you're first going blind, you think in terms of people doing things for you because you don't have the experience. And it's, you know, I can understand. Oh, my God, I can't imagine going
right.
blind at my age.
Right.
You know, so I'm not trying to say, oh, it's a piece of cake. Or,
no,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Not at all. But the more you can do for yourself, the less your family is going to want to have somebody move in with you or put you in assisted living or something, because they want to do that. And it's not that they don't care about you. It's not that they're mean. It's they want, you know, they want somebody, they want to make, they want to see that somebody's there to take care of you.
Right, exactly.
They've got their own lives to live.
Right.
You know.
No, absolutely. It's an easy fix for them, but not for you. And, of course, you've experienced it your whole life. You know, I know it, a bit of it because of, I have a number of friends who have been blind since birth. And the amount of things that people assume they can't do is just unbelievable. And the amount of things that people think, well, you know, they're going to have to be in a home. What? That's insane. You know, but so that ignorance level, you've known your whole life. But to add that, too,
yeah.
that you haven't had to deal with it in terms of just physically losing your sight altogether, it's very daunting. And yeah, relatives are very quick to want to say, well, it's time for the home. Probably not.
Yeah. And everybody wants to offer help, but
yeah.
they don't want to help you get on your feet.
Right.
A lot of times, because they don't think you can.
Right, right. Yeah, well, what's best for him? Someone else will care for him. Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Right. You know, somebody has to do this for me,
right.
or for her. Somebody has to do
right.
that for her. I fought hard. My
yeah.
whole life. I had a kind of overprotective mother, and I used to
sure
scare her. But, you know, as I say, I know it's a lot different for me. But, you know, people are going to try to think that you're helpless, and you're not. You don't have
right.
to be.
Right. Well, and I think Jim's going to prove them wrong. And again, he's got a tough situation with those kids, because there's an estrangement there because of the divorce and the ex-wife, and that makes it even harder. He really can't put himself in a position to depend on those kids, any of them.
Right, no. And then I know he's upset with his neighbor, and, you know, he says, you know, I've done a lot for them, and now they don't want to drive
yeah.
me anymore.
Yeah.
You can't go down that road. Because if you go down that road, you're going to spend your life angry.
Well, that, and the other thing is, it may not be completely that they're just being selfish. It may be that they're looking at it and saying, I'm not going to be here forever. He needs to be independent.
Well, sometimes the best things that anybody has ever done for me is to say no.
Right.
I can't take you. You know, because it makes me, all right, friend, you've had to deal with this before. You know, figure it out.
Right. Agreed.
So, anyway, right. I'll get down off my soapbox now, but I just wanted to thank you again for putting your book
sure.
out there, and we're really enjoying, Gary and I are reading it together, and we're really enjoying it.
Well, good. I'm delighted. That's exactly why it's there, so thank you.
Sure.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay,
all right.
Thanks.
So, yes, indeed. So, yeah, if you go to Rollye.net, Rollye.net, and it's under the entry on the homepage for Tuesday, August 27th, and you will see, click here to read my book for free, and it'll take you right to it, and then you can do whatever you want with it and download it to your heart's content. You know, just don't sell it. Not that I think you could, but when I see what people are trying to sell it for, that's crazy, which is why I wanted to get it up there in a hurry, because I'm not going to do a reprint. I'm out of copies, and we're not going to reprint it. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
are over. And life is like a song. Oh, yeah, yeah, at last. The sky's above the blue. My heart was wrapped up in clover. The night I looked at you, I found a dream that I could speak to, a dream that I can call my own.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, leave Cyndi Lauper in the dust. Etta James, the original, At Last, 1961 on Argo. Yes, part of the Chess group. And happy to play it. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Yeah, the wrist is hurting more. Of course, I'm doing things like hitting the keyboard, you know, typing, and I know that's part of it. But I was real surprised because when I fell, the wrist didn't hurt at all. And at least I didn't notice it did. And then now, I mean, I've been, what, on the air 2.5 hours? Yeah, it's hurting. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it'll get better soon. Of course, I say that about anything. Stacy in Algonquin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I'm sorry you don't feel well.
Yeah, well, you know, take a fall and that's what happens. It could have been so much worse.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me.
What?
I was in the hospital.
No, why?
Last Friday.
Yeah.
It was close to Saturday morning.
Yeah.
I was getting stomach pains.
Uh-huh.
Weird stomach pains, and I was throwing up.
Uh-huh.
And I said, this is not right. You know, I guess one of the male nurses comes in, and he says, take a banana.
Okay. A little potassium, why not?
I just called the paramedics.
Yeah.
And they said, we're taking you to the hospital.
Okay.
So I went to Good Shepherd, and then they found out that I had my right kidney was not working.
Oh.
And then I had two kidney stones.
Oh, painful, painful.
And then, but, oh, did I have good, I'm so glad I picked Good Shepherd. Because, I mean, I know you're poked and, oh, good grief, but they gave me all this pain medicine. Mm-hmm. But I had wonderful doctors.
Good.
I had the surgery, you know, they put me in this machine, that machine. Then the doctor that was doing the surgery, I've never felt so at ease, Raleigh.
That's great.
He's just laid back, and you know when they're giving you the anesthetic?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't get nauseous or anything. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, when they put the tube down, nothing hurt. I felt good.
Yay.
And then he said, well, the surgery's over. We got the stone. There was two stones.
Okay.
We got the stones out and everything. And the doctors were so wonderful. But, you know, you still get pain and stuff, but they gave me, you know, the medicine. And I came out I came home Tuesday night.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, you mentioned your right kidney wasn't performing. Was that because of the stones, or was there another problem?
You know, I really don't know, Raleigh. I didn't know.
Okay.
I know when you get older, certain things happen.
Well, after,
but I didn't even know.
Yeah, afterwards,
yeah,
they
didn't
probably
even know.
Right. They probably afterwards did more blood work, and I assume your renal panel is looking good.
Yeah, now everything, you know, is healing. You know,
great.
I still have just a little pain, but I'm getting, I just got a medicine today to take. But, you know, it's just a little stinging, you know, like when you go to the bathroom and stuff.
Oh, sure.
But I've been getting good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be.
Good. No, because I'll tell you what, kidney problems can be some of the most painful things ever. The lower back pain can be an extreme. The nausea can be extreme. Depending, you can be so weak. I mean, people don't realize, even though you don't think about kidney stones or you know, minor renal function problems as being that serious, you can be sick as a dog. So I understand that.
I was.
Yeah, no.
I never threw up like I did.
Well,
oh my God!
At least you did. No, I only had renal failure once, and you never forget it. It was 1977 in Indianapolis, and thought I was a goner, but of course, you know, after they fixed me up, I was absolutely fine.
I know it's all with. I had wonderful doctors.
That's great.
And before, like even when my husband was alive, and I had just a little thing with the right breast. I mean, I woke up, you know, and you have the tube down you, but on my throat, and I needed, I felt miserable.
Right.
I woke up here. I felt relaxed, at ease, and the doctors were so wonderful.
Excellent.
And then I had a handsome male nurse.
That always helps.
I know. But, you know, so I wish you all of my blessings, too.
Yeah.
And all of your listeners, Stacy's blessings to get well.
Yeah. So you want to know when the new moon is going to be for the next abundance check.
Oh, right. I want to make sure of the time and the date.
September 2nd, which is Labor Day, Monday, and 8:56 p.m., so just a few minutes before 9 p.m. So, you know, if you did it at 8 p.m. or 8:30, that's all fine.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, and I love the music. I love all the songs.
Well, we played your request. You got your Delphonics. I hope you heard.
Last night.
Last night we played your Lou Rawls. So I hope you liked that.
Oh, I did. And I loved all the music today.
Well,
just
good.
Wonderful.
Delighted. I'm delighted.
You know, I think music makes you feel better.
Yeah, it absolutely, you know, it can change your mood for better or worse. That's why some of the stuff that I say, I'm not playing that, I know because I'll break out in a rash. But the stuff that I really like, you feel wonderful. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Oh, it was wonderful.
Good.
Oh, God, I love the music. It does. It makes you feel so good.
Yep. It's one of the nice things about being on Earth.
I know. And all my friends were wondering, hey, where was Stacy?
Yeah, I'll bet they were, and I'm sure that they were worried as can be, you know, because you just never know. So but
I know, but I'm bet, you know, in certain places, it still stings a little.
Oh, yeah, no, you'll have that, but that's okay. That's just your battle scars. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right, good deal.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, I'm going to try. We'll talk to you next week.
Definitely.
Okay.
And you have a wonderful weekend,
and
John.
You too. Okay, thanks.
You take care.
All right. Bye. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And I'm going to try to not be so long-winded here. Cindy's been waiting half of her life. So if you're still alive, Cindy, welcome back to WGN.
Yeah, you know, that's really weird. The same thing happened to me last Friday, where I...
Really?
All of a sudden, at 9 o'clock, I got so sick and dizzy and weak.
Yeah.
And I ended up vomiting, and then it all went away. I thought maybe it was like some kind of migraine.
It was probably stress.
Something,
No, if it went away, you know, gastrointestinal stuff can so easily be stress if it went away.
Yeah, but then anyhow, Snowy's by me. He's listening to you, and he's picking his head up and sleeping, and I'm petting him.
Okay.
But then anyhow, he gained I weighed him today. He gained 4 pounds in 2 weeks.
There you go. All's well.
Yeah, and his kidneys are a little bit weak.
Okay.
But the thyroid medicine is supposed to help with that.
Good.
And then for his name is Jim. I don't know if he could see well enough, but maybe journaling would help him. It helps me a lot.
It'd be tough right now.
Yeah, and maybe he could do it through a tape recorder.
Yeah, you never know. No, I think that's good. Absolutely. That, even automatic writing. Yeah.
But then, whatever happened to Catherine John?
I don't know what happened. Is she, by the way, I was always envious of Catherine John's because, you know, I am the worst formatically of anyone who has ever lived on the radio. And when I would listen to Catherine John's, like on WLS, this woman got to the breaks flawlessly. She never missed a cue. She was always on time. I thought to myself, how in the hell does she do that? Because I cannot do that. But she was the best at that of anyone I'd ever heard. And so I hope that she's well and happy, whatever she's doing.
Yeah, I tried looking it up on Google, and I couldn't find anything about her. But then anyhow,
there's plenty on Google, and there was a little write up on C-SPAN, but that's been quite a while ago. But I read an article about her for a while ago, and I don't think at the time she was doing radio. But from what I understand, she was doing well.
But then, I know she was married to a high school, music teacher.
Oh, see, I don't know about people's personal lives, frankly. But
I remember.
But there is a Catherine Johns on Facebook that very well may be her, that she's a motivational speaker. And that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Well, that's probably her.
Yeah, and so I wish her the best. I'll never be able to do what that woman could do.
And then the other thing that happened was my cousin, I guess she hasn't had her breast biopsy yet, but the doctor said it probably is cancer.
Oh, well, hopefully it's stage one and hasn't spread. And it is, by the way, it is the same Catherine Johns, and you can go to CatherineJohns.com. She's got a whole website, and you can read all about her and what she's doing.
Okay, and then it hasn't spread to her lymph nodes.
Good. Well, that's very important. I'm no doctor and I don't try to play one on the radio, but I'll tell you what, when you can have something that's fully contained and, has not left the primary site, it's usually almost a walk in the park.
But then I guess she wouldn't take my advice. I told her I'd meet her for lunch and everything. And I asked her if, the whole family wouldn't be worrying and all that. At Lutheran General, you could have it all done in 1 or 2 days, and she waited 3 weeks at her to have it done at her hospital.
That was her comfort then, and I respect that. It's her body, and whatever she thinks is best is the way she should handle it.
But for other people, maybe they could, advocates, they advertise, they could get you in 1 or 2 days and get it all done.
Yeah, but again, hopefully she's aware of all those resources, but in the end, it's her decision.
Yeah.
All right.
The only thing I'm concerned about is her daughter needs, you know me by now.
Well, I know that you think too much.
Yeah, but anyhow, the cancer, everything is in my, just the cancer is so bad in my family.
But this sounds pretty good. Don't go there. Don't buy trouble you don't have.
I'm trying. Her daughter just started sophomore year in high school in Woodridge.
All right. Well, good. So, anything you can do to be there for her, that's fine. But believe me, don't trouble her with all the things you're worried about.
That's right.
All right.
Text or something, and I deleted it.
Yeah. Well, good. Just carry on and don't think. All right. We'll talk to you later, Cindy.
Okay. All right,
appreciate it. All right. And Catherine Johns looks like has a book as well, Show Up and Shine, and you can buy it right on her website, CatherineJohns.com. All right. And she speaks and stuff like that. And I know, so she speaks, she walks and talks and crawls on rail like a reptile, don't we all? No, I mean, she's a motivational speaker. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And we'll pick it up right there. We'll see what I can do to... Tommy's got some advice for my wrist. I want to hear that coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, we'll forego the bumper. We only have a couple minutes left, and I want to see if I can get to everybody. That'll be a whirlwind. We'll start with Tommy in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN.
Hello, Raleigh. How, I'm not going to ask.
Yeah,
how are you?
Thank you. So you got advice for me?
Oh, Raleigh. Yes, yes, yes. I had the same problem 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's an ailment. It just really pains you after a while. And what I found out is that if you run that wrist under, like, warm water for, like, maybe 2 or 3 minutes
okay.
at a time, whenever you're feeling that pain,
yeah.
it'll go away for a while.
All right.
And then as you try to rest at night and you have that pain, always elevate it and put your hand in an upward position, spread out on a pillow.
Okay. I'll do both of those things. Now, in your case, did it, like, come up a few hours after the injury? Like, at first it didn't bother me at all, and then, like, whammo!
The next morning.
Okay, all right. So then I guess I'm on track. Well, I will let you know Monday how it goes, and thank you for the advice.
I will be there.
Okay, good
it's
deal.
It's my birthday tonight. You gave me a great birthday show.
Oh, happy, happy birthday. All right. I won't ask
thank
how
you.
Old, but you're certainly old enough to listen to this show, and I look forward to talking to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Gave me some right. Delphonics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I played Lala Means I Love You. We'll play some more for you. Well,
right.
maybe not Monday, but Tuesday for sure.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Rob.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Hope
all
you
right.
feel better.
Thanks. All right. So, indeed. Now, great. That's it. Apologies to Karen, to James, to Chuck, to Laura. I am so sorry, but that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. I'm so sorry I'm so long-winded. We'll reconvene Monday night live for Monday night trivia. Even though it's Labor Day, I will be here. Hope you will too on WGN Radio.